Now that you've looked through the window and observed one of the great women of the Bible through your character study, has your own life been enriched? I surely trust so. I think there are four major lessons that the Shunammite woman's life can teach us that I would like to share on this tape, and perhaps this material then will give you material for amplification as your group shares their insights and answers to number 12 on page 46. I hope that these thoughts would be a help to you. If you had been a next-door neighbor to the Shunammite woman, then you would have found that one mark of her spiritual maturity was that of her hospitality, and that's what I consider the first major lesson of her life, is hospitality. And this concept of hospitality was certainly not a new concept to this deeply beautiful woman. It is as old as God's word to the Israelites way back in Leviticus when he said, "When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself." Well, what was begun as hospitality in the Old Testament was given an increased dimension in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 4:9 in the Phillips, it talks about the one who is hospitable without secretly wishing that you hadn't got to be. And I think a lot of times we've been hospitable, haven't we? But we've secretly wished that we hadn't got to be. This is the true test of a woman's genuine desire to serve God by entertaining in her home at her expense and not at her convenience. This attitude toward others often pictures our attitude and reaction to God as well. The Shunammite's hospitality was not expressed out of a sense of responsibility and duty, but out of a heart of love. And we women need to follow the example set for us in this study to help us develop this quality of hospitality. Here are some specific ways or helps. And I encourage you, even if you're very perhaps bashful and reserved, to give them a try. For instance, why don't you plan to share your home soon with your pastor or a missionary or a Christian worker? Have them over for dinner, or if they live in another city, invite them as weekend guests. There may be someone in your church family who has a social or emotional need who would dearly love an invitation into your home. What about the non-Christian neighbor across the street? Or maybe that girl on your bowling team or someone from your club. Ask one of them to come and spend an evening in your home so that this biblical concept will become a reality to you and to others. Then there's a second excellent trait of this woman from Shunan, and that was her persistence with which she sought the blessings of God. You remember that when her son died, she went for God's holy man, and she stayed until he did what she asked. In 2 Kings 4:30 it says, "But the boy's mother said, 'I swear to God that I won't go home without you.' And so Elisha returned with her." Here was steadfast, enduring prayer which showed faith. And faith is a big issue with God. Your need, in fact, doesn't even have to be a religious need to be steadfast in prayer and to show faith in prayer. For instance, Jesus' own example on prayer was not a religious one when in Matthew 21:21 and 22, he said, "Truly, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this Mount of Olives, 'Move over into the ocean,' and it will. You can get anything you ask for in prayer if you believe." The Shunammite woman did not settle for second best in her plea to the prophet. She knew exactly what she wanted, and she got it. What about you? Do you know what blessings of God that you would desire? And are you persistent with God about those? Don't stop short of receiving the blessings that he wants to give to you. A third extraordinary quality of this lady was her non-complaining spirit. Did you notice that her conversations were not loaded with the declarations of her every annoyed thought? My prayer is that the very positiveness of our lives would say to our husbands and our family and our friends and our enemies just exactly what the Shunammite said when she expressed, "I am perfectly content." What a thought. And I trust that this is what your life and my life communicates to those around us. Trust to God those things that you are not content with today. Let him take the initiative to bring about the changes in his perfect time and way. And if God does not bring about what you thought would bring you that contentment, then implore Him to give you His accepting grace and comprehension. And you know, even if we lack some comprehension, it won't keep us from His command in Philippians 2:14, which says, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. And for our own safety, it certainly seems wise to stop murmuring over these things, because this only causes tension, crushes egos, cools attitudes, destroys loving communication, and certainly, in general, doesn't do anything good. 1 Corinthians 10:10 solemnly warns us, and don't murmur against God and His dealings with you as some of them did, for that is why God sent His angel to destroy them. Well, the fourth noteworthy trait of this lady is not expecting special treatment. You have read in number 11 on page 46 in your teacher's guide where I made reference to the fact that though she was a very prominent lady and that she saddled the donkey herself and she didn't need to be coddled or waited on, Jeremiah 45:5 is a good verse that should motivate us with this same attitude. It says, are you seeking great things for yourself? Don't do it. If we've dedicated our lives to God, teacher, then we need not look for nor expect any special treatment from others. God will take care of His property, and we are His property, and He will take good care of us. The attitude of Philippians 2, 3 and 4 frees us to think about others' needs. It says, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. If thoughts like this engulf our minds, we can identify with the Shunammite woman's statement when she said, do not slow down the pace for me. And not only that, but we can identify ourselves with the person of Christ, because this was His attitude. We become what we watch or what we take great note of, and so I assume that our look into the life of this godly woman will make us wiser. Romans 16:19b says, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. And teacher, I certainly am not advocating that we all become human Xerox machines and make our lives a copy of this lady's. You see, we're not the nameless Shunammite. You are you, and I am me. Tragedy, as I see it in lives, is not in death, but in the fact that we are born beautiful originals, and we die carbon copies of someone else. So don't become a faded carbon of this character, but just let her godlike qualities find their expression in your beauty of spirit and your creative originality in the holiness of your life. Goodbye for now.